Well, October is dedicated to many things. One of those things is to raise awareness of domestic violence, and conversations about domestic violence unfortunately have to include dating violence these days. Jeremy Hansen joins us this morning, and he's with the Domestic Violence Coordinated Community Response Team out of Douglas County, Wisconsin. UWS is having an event tomorrow called Love and Bruises, Lessons from Domestic and Dating Violence. Hey, Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm a little bit curious about what these events are kind of going to focus on. You're going to be one of the speakers. Where do you start when you're talking with students about dating violence? Of course, I was saying before we went on the air, old folks like to think that, you know, oh, young people relationships are free of that kind of drama and conflict, and you have to get married or you have to be a certain age before you start behaving really appallingly. But that isn't the case.
No, not at all. Domestic violence, as we were mentioning, you know, really has no age at this point. It's an epidemic that, you know, has been around forever, and to raise awareness for it, you know, even starting as young as middle school or even elementary school, just to kind of try to initiate that social change through education is kind of the point of what we're trying to do here this week.
People rarely walk up to other people and just punch them. Dating violence, domestic violence, it does happen on a spectrum. There are things that happen first to get a person kind of sucked into these dysfunctional relationships and trapped in these dysfunctional relationships. And then when the battering begins, it's really difficult for people from the outside to understand why the victim would want to stay in that relationship. But it is a process. Do you talk to students about what they need to start looking for? What are some of these early behaviors that can serve as red flags?
Yeah, kind of the warning signs of what would indicate a relationship with domestic violence. You look at so many different factors, but things like power and control, the idea of power control, how the abuser can create a sense of strength and power over the victim, and just kind of different things like isolation. You're not seeing the person as often. Monetary things, just how their way and behaviors change just based on the control that the abuser would have over a victim. It's subtleties, you know. You aren't going to see necessarily a person walking around with a black eye for there to be domestic violence. It's all encompassing within even a mental state of things. It's to create that connection between the two and exploit it is what ends up happening with the abuser will end up exploiting this connection that they've created with their victim, pardon me. And to see that happen is difficult to spot these signs and to try to create awareness on that and, you know, maybe help people that are friends with people that are in situations with domestic violence. We're trying to create an environment and just an awareness of these warning signs to you know, look at different aspects of it. And that's kind of what we're really going to be discussing in the panel. Not just that, we're going to delve into what really happens in the criminal justice system when there is a domestic violence situation, custody issues, different things like that. But the idea of the non-physical signs of domestic violence are still very difficult to pick up, but once you start to see them, you know, you start to understand it a little bit more, and it's, you know, still domestic violence is something that it's really hard to understand in general, you know, from the abuser's standpoint and from the victim's standpoint. So these are questions that we're going to really try to tackle going into the panel tomorrow night.
Frequently, the violence, the abuse, not violence, but the abuse begins with, again, as we mentioned, some of these psychological things isolating you. One of the things that abusers are really skilled at is teaching you to doubt your own reality so that you end up wandering around unable to trust yourself and unable to trust your perceptions. And while many friends, you know, if they saw you with a bruise or, you know, with handprints on your arm would say, stop, you know, you got to get out of this, and they would intervene. If they were aware of some of these psychological things that are going on with friends, or, hey, you know, you started dating this guy, I never see you anymore, what's up with that? And it might be, do you think that it might be easier for friends and family to kind of stage an intervention in air quotes before things get to the point where somebody's in a relationship where they're being physically battered?
Well, that's kind of a difficult part to be in, is an intervention of sorts. It's tough to change the mind of someone that has been taken into a relationship like that. It's, on average, nationally, it takes 7 or 8 times before a person that is the product of domestic abuse to leave that relationship. It's that difficult. And a lot of the time when people try to, you know, confront them about the domestic violence, it's difficult. It seems even more confrontational to them. It has to be, for a victim to truly empower themselves and get out of a relationship like that, they need to see it for themselves. They need to understand that this is what is happening, and they have to find that strength in themselves to be able to get away from the situation. Not to say that it's not helpful to have friends and family, you know, offering up assistance. I mean, that's what it's about. It's about support and, you know, helping each other out. But in situations like that, it's difficult because sometimes those interventions will push people away. It'll draw them further into the isolation. And, you know, the abuser will be like, "See, it's just you and I against the world. This is how it is. You know, and nobody wants us to be together. That's how deep we are." But it's tough. That psychological aspect is sometimes just so much stronger than the physical. No matter how physical it can get, that psychological bond is just so tight. And to try to force that free is sometimes just really, really tough move.
But knowing that support is there, I know the situation that I was in, if I had not had my parents at the ready, you know, I had to sneak away and I had to say family meeting and I had to say I got to get out. And they said, "Where do you want the moving van and when?" And with that kind of support, I had that option, but it would have been a lot more, I shudder to think what would have happened if I had been completely cut off from everybody and hadn't had the people there to support me and to physically help me just get away. So lucky. If folks want additional information on some of these topics, and in particular, dating violence prevention, because it is a little bit different than thinking about people, you know, who are married or have been living together long term. You think, "Oh, well, that just happens there. That doesn't happen when dating." If folks want more information, are there some resources online that you recommend?
Absolutely. CASDA.org. The Center Against Sexual and Domestic Abuse over in Superior, Wisconsin. It's a wonderful redesigned website. Well done. It's lots of information about that. Allows for anonymous contact with some of the advocates over there. Let's see, what else would be a domestic abuse intervention program? As you had mentioned, Scott Miller earlier. The DAIP is a very good resource. Here in Duluth, I believe Safe Haven is a wonderful, wonderful place to check out. Wonderful people working there, as well as PAVSA, which deals with sexual abuse as well. Both places offer wonderful resources, excellent support. They are, you know, all these places are great for anyone that is in a relationship that is abusive or knows someone that might be, or just, you know, wants more information regarding this very difficult topic.
This is great. We'll get some links set up so it'll be easy for folks to find additional information if they or somebody that they're concerned about is maybe dealing with this. Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us.
Not a problem.
Jeremy Hansen joined us this morning as our guest, and he is with the Domestic Violence Coordinated Community Response Team of Douglas County.